Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Back on the beautiful Trinity River in Willow Creek, California, we're talking with Yaddo, and Yaddo is going to tell us a little bit more about lamprey eel. One of the things I'm wondering about is teaching the next generation about traditional foods. How is that done? Is it pretty much families teaching families, or is there any efforts to like get it out in the schools or anything like that?
Yeah, it's all of the above. There are families teaching family is normal. You know, that's the normal way to find community, really. If you think about it, as you know, community, the whole, you know, it takes a village to raise a child thing. Not everybody has a father who is, you know, home at those hours during that time of year. Some people work away, or they work, you know, really early in the morning, and they can't do this because this eeling is predominantly and up this way a nighttime thing. So, you know, not everybody can go out 10 to 3 in the morning, you know, and give it a go. But you might have an older cousin. There has been a number of different things taught in schools through the years, and that's just someone will get a project or maybe a grant to do something, and so a little bit of that will, you know, kind of get folks' feet wet sometimes, and then they'll go home and, you know, ask around and find out where they can go or who they can go with. Yeah, that does happen too.
In addition to maybe not having a family member to teach the young people how to eel, it seems like in some families, maybe the older folks can no longer get out and do the eeling for themselves. Is there a way to make sure that they get a share of some of the eels that are caught each year?
Well, yeah, there's a number of young guys who are dedicated to that thing. And then right now, a good portion of the eels overall are caught on the coast, caught on, down the lips when they're coming up. And so it's pretty common for, you know, an uncle or a grandpa or whatever, even if they can't go, to sponsor the young bucks down there, you know, pay for the gas, because it's a ways, you know, it's a couple hours drive one way.
That is a long drive.
You know, so you got a couple of 15-year-olds and 17-year-old who got the skills and the ability, but not the money or the truck, you know.
It's a perfect marriage.
You know, yeah, it works out great, you know. And then there are folks who also will come up with an excess of what they might be able to use, and so make that available.
Because it seems like one of those foods that's like a comfort food, food that brings back the memories of your childhood.
Oh, yeah. It's a food that once you've had it, assuming you like it, you'll always want it, you'll always crave it. You know, you can't wait for the next time of year when it comes around again. Some say it's an acquired taste. I don't believe that. I think you either like them or you don't, you know, because I've known a number of people, and the first time they loved them. And other people have been trying for years and haven't gotten there.
Yeah, I personally love them. I love them smoked and canned. I just really enjoy them.
They're delicious for sure.
How would you describe eel to somebody who's never tasted it before?
Like nothing you've ever ate.
That's a hard one, isn't it? That smokiness and that oiliness is just so good. It just kind of hits something, some spot in you that just needs to be hit.
Yeah, it sure does.
So if you put it on the coals, I've heard that you should put slits in it to keep it from wanting to curl.
I guess you could. You don't have to.
You haven't done that?
They're going to shrink up and they're going to move around a little bit. You'll start off with an eel that big and you'll end up with an eel that big.
Wow, so like almost 2 feet down to 1 foot.
Especially if you just got them out of the ocean, it's all that fat content and oil, it's right into the coals.
I've heard that it's a great baby food because it's boneless, so that a lot of people give them to the little kids to chew on.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of my little nieces and nephews who really, really loved eel, and dried eel in particular, and one of my little cousins was like a year and a half old, and she was running around chewing on just the tail. Well, there's not even any meat in it. She just loved the flavor. And when we took it from her, she cried and threw a big fit until we gave her a bigger piece that actually still had meat on it. That's pretty cool. But yeah, there's no bones in them.
I think it's good, you know, that whole starting kids young with those foods that have strong flavors.
With eels and also acorns, I think you either like them or you don't. There are traditional foods there where we eat, and some people love them and some people not so much.
That's How about okay. In your family, is it everybody likes eel?
I have a huge family.
Do you?
So by far, most people do.
Why is it important to teach people to eat traditional foods?
Well, it's just a part of our culture. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of what it means to be us. You know, even if you don't like it, I think that you should try it, just because it's part of what made us who we are, and it affects our worldview. You know, when certain things happen in nature, they tell us the times to start gathering certain things. And what good is that knowledge if it doesn't actually mean anything to you? We hear the frogs croaking really good, we start thinking the eels are coming, you know? But if you don't eat eels, what does that mean?
Yeah, it just takes that whole context out of your world.
We tend to have a lot more concern about things that we interact with in a real positive way, or in any substantial way, whether we eat it or use it for ceremony or anything. It could be rocks. You know, if it matters to you, you'll tend to take notice of it and protect it more.
Are there any stories, traditional Yurok stories, about eels?
Oh, there's quite a few. The most well-known story is the sucker and eel story. It's a story about card game. And eel not learning when to say no, and when to walk away. And so that's how he came to have no bones. It's a big, long process. But yeah, he lost them in a gambling game. That's the one that everybody knows, you know. And it's a beautiful story. And it
beautiful
makes story. A lot of sense. So there's a couple more follow-ups to that explain some of the rest of his characteristics. But yeah.
When you go to get eels, how big are they? You said about 2 feet long?
Yeah. A buddy of mine actually got one that was about the diameter of a soda can.
Wow.
That's like the fattest eel I've ever seen. It's the fattest eel a lot of folks have ever seen. But yeah, he took a picture and was holding it up. It's amazing. That's a granddaddy eel. There's not a ton of meat on, you know, one individual eel. It takes a handful to feed a few folks, you know.
When you go to get them, how many do you harvest at a time?
Well, that just depends on how lucky, how many people you have, what your goal is. You know, some folks, if they were only going to go one time, you know, and if they tie it into them, they might be down there for a little bit longer because they know that that's it. And you're going to put up a whole winter supply of eels, you know, in one go. And so they're going to be cleaning eels for a long time. Some other folks might be down the next weekend or the next day, and so they might, you know, knock off at 15 or something like that. When you get them in baskets, you just get however many's in your basket, you know, and if you get too many, then everybody gets eels. So you can't put a number on that.
Is there a difference between the males and the females when you catch them, or do you clean them pretty much the same way? And
it's pretty much the same. When they spawn in the river or in the streams, and they make a red just like a salmon does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the gravel. It tends to be deeper and about the diameter of an eel length. So you figure however long it is, it'll be like someone that's trying to actually dig a hole. Versus a salmon red will have a, you know, a much bigger area where it's kind of moved the gravel around. I've actually watched eels spawn. It's pretty interesting.
That would be interesting to see.
A few different pairs in there, and then I went back in the same area later on, a couple weeks later, and you could see a number more reds, so that spot was popular. So that was really cool to see.
Have you seen baby eels?
Yes, I've seen many, many baby eels.
About how long are they?
The smallest one was around 30 millimeters.
Oh, little teeny little guys.
Mm-hmm. Seen them all the way up to, the biggest they get is about that big before they pop out in the eyes, and that's, you know, 100 and something millimeters.
Yeah, it looked like about 6 inches to me.
You know, but even when I was a kid, we'd be swimming and stuff, and sometimes you see, you know, little 3-inch eels swimming along.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty cool.
So what do you think is the future of eels? I've heard that they're on the decline. Do you feel that that's true, or are you seeing that when you go out and you go eeling?
Almost everything in this environment has declined somewhat, you know, for a whole lot of different reasons. You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is quite some time back, November historically was one of the biggest months for eels. So they would just really, really, really come in really heavy then. And now, you know, change to more of a wintertime through springtime thing as far as the heavy runs, you know. There are some coming up probably every month of the year. And then some actually live in the river for a lot longer than previously believed. They haven't really been heavily studied till fairly recently. I feel that, yeah, while there might not be as many, because people are spending time studying them, that some things are going to be changing for the better.
Good. Well, I do enjoy eels, and I have enjoyed sitting with you in the beautiful Willow Creek area talking about lamprey eels and growing up with your Yurok tradition and sharing that with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This program was supported in part by the Northwest California Tribal Communities Extension Program, a USDA-funded project through the University of California Cooperative Extension of Humboldt and Del Norte counties.